T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I want to talk about greatness for a moment. That's how I want to begin this hour. I want to talk about greatness. Great moments in life. The birth of that child. Getting married to the man or woman you love. Taking a step up the corporate ladder. And showing up on time for a radio show in Las Vegas. Great moments from great people. You guys, absolutely astounding today. Absolutely astounding. Everyone here, clear-eyed, alert, informative, delivering. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Welcome in. We're at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas for the Andre Ward, Sergey Kovalev fight, Saturday night, T-Mobile Arena. Sean Salisbury coming up here in just a couple minutes. But boys, you look too good for Vegas.
Professionalism.
Too good right now.
Well, everything but the belt right now. If I could have just slapped on a belt that I forgot in my closet, everything would be good.
He's beltless.
Well, and all this weight I've been losing, it's tough to keep the pants on anymore, Lolo.
You are looking good.
Look, I'm wasting away to nothing over here, kid.
Take them off. It's awesome and good to be in Vegas. This goes to show you, Joe. You're talking about them old Raider boys thinking about coming to Vegas. I don't know if we should say we look that good, because now the ownership's probably listening and say, hey, if those guys can be nice and sober and ready to really work, maybe our Raiders can go here and they can be all right and maybe it'll work.
Watch your tone. Watch your tone around these parts.
Exactly.
The mob is, you never know if they're lurking. You never know if they're lurking around here.
The problem is right now Vegas, beautiful winter day, so much going on. Even in this room, the last thing I would want to do would be to go to a pro football game right now. There's 74 other things I'd rather be doing. And that ultimately to me is the biggest problem with pro football in Las Vegas.
That's an excellent point right there.
I walk around the casino and there's a whole game out there, Lo Neil.
A game within the game. Jeez.
All right. We will jump back. I can't wait to see you guys in action out there, especially the youngins we brought with us, Papa and Cody. Oh.
Young Toad, he's going to be fine. Easy, Grasshopper.
So wet behind the ears, they're bringing tissue paper and carrying him around to clean up back there.
He'll be shirtless on the sidewalk by noon.
Yes.
Shirtless on the sidewalk by noon.
Big Toad.
That's my bet. I'm going to get that set up in the book. But more on that in a minute along with Sean Salisbury. Let's give you the update you deserve.
Round ball, JoJo. Let's start with the Warriors. Game 2 of the 4-game road trip. It's at Boston this afternoon. They're 9-2 after beating Toronto. KD against one of the teams that wanted him in the offseason. Our coverage starts at 3:30. Is this team going to have extra motivation against the Warriors because KD spurned them?
There's motivation on both sides. This is a Friday night game. KD saying, no, this is the get-up game of the year. Much like when you face LeBron and the Cavaliers because they're the champs. This is the reigning champ in the Western Conference. You're always going to get up for these guys. But the flip side is the Warriors. The last time these two teams got together, Dibs, April 1st of last year at Roracle, when the Celtics handed the Dubs their first home defeat of the season. Time for a little payback tonight.
Absolute payback for Golden State. Story number 2, your San Jose Sharks getting it in on the road. Cue sound.
The late penalty here as the Sharks turn, shoot. LeBanc scores his first National Hockey League goal, and it comes to ring in the late penalty at 9:04 of the second period. Kevin LeBanc.
Kevin LeBanc with the goal, but St. Louis the win 3-2. The Sharks 2-for-23 on the power play over their last 8 games. Joe, you're from back east. Is that any good?
This is the same thing that happened last season with this team. The special teams were a struggle, and the team in general struggled throughout the course of the first couple months of the season. But go back to December 15th when the Sharks kicked it into another gear and then tore apart the rest of the Western Conference. This team's going to rebound. Just give them some time. They played very late in the June last season.
One more road game before they come home. That'll be in Arizona. Story number 3, week 11 in the NFL is underway. Carolina gets what's called a Pyrrhic victory, more costly than the benefit of the actual win. They beat New Orleans 23-20, but Luke Kuechly, Lo, carted off with a concussion. Could have a major leg injury as well. How big a blow is this to the Panthers?
I tell you what, that was a huge blow, but it was tough for me, Dibs. Watching this guy, a guy who's an ultimate warrior, you watch the way that he plays the game, reckless and abandoned, but always under control. This blow really hurts this Carolina Panthers. Even though they won that game, they lost in a lot of ways.
And he very emotional coming off the field. Did that hit you as a former player to see that?
It really did. It's happened to me a couple times.
Man, tough scene. Hopefully Luke Kuechly will be able to come back at some point this year. The update brought to you by Orchard Supply Hardware. At Orchard Supply Hardware, we'll help you discover your can-do spirit with helpful know-how for all your paint, repair, and backyard projects. Orchard Supply Hardware, home improvement improved. I'm Dan Dibley. On your new home for Golden State Warriors basketball, it's 95-7 the game.
Thank you, Dibs.
Score! That's Guru trying to do Ruzanowski low when you were out.
Guru.
Bruno Mars tickets to give away at 8:45. That's 39 minutes from now. We'll be giving those away. Sean Salisbury is coming up here in a minute. I want to get to the AL MVP award from yesterday. Mike Trout, his second MVP award. A lot of people don't like it. Cody and I, our producer, had this discussion off air. He makes an excellent point. How valuable can you be on a team that's that bad? How valuable can you be? Should it have gone to Mookie Betts in Boston because he played on a better team? I like that argument in basketball, and I like that argument in football. I do not like that argument in baseball. One guy in baseball can only impact the game so much. So much. That's why I struggle at times trying to give a pitcher an MVP award. I get the Cy Young, but a pitcher for an MVP, you're out there once every 5 days. Once every 5 days. Now, you might be incendiary that one day, but the team needs to step up the other four when you're not around. And for Trout to win this award and the argument to be, well, you know, how valuable can you be if the Angels were that bad? Well, that's on the rest of the Angels.
Yeah.
Trout's a stud. If he gets up to the dish once every three innings, it's not his fault the team can't deliver the other 2.5 innings that are taking place. If the pitcher is putting together a nice performance and he's in the outfield four innings without a ball coming his way, there's nothing he can do about that. You can't have as much of an impact in a baseball game as a guy like Mike Trout, that you could as a quarterback in the NFL, or perhaps as a guy like Kevin Durant in basketball, so to speak. So that's why I'm okay with the MVP coming from a losing team.
It's always peculiar because value, what is value? You know, the guy's team was no good, but he was the most valuable player on that team. So ultimately, a lot of times they just look at the numbers, and whoever has the best numbers, they win the award.
Former NFL quarterback. He's now a radio host on 97.5 in Houston. We've loved having him on before, and we love having him on now. Sean Salisbury with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Good morning, Sean. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, guys. And I'll just get it in now. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy holidays to all you guys and your listeners. And, yes, Mike Trout is the best player in baseball and ain't close, and he deserved the award. No question about it, win or lose. He can't control the rest of them. See, I love you guys. We talk baseball all day. Screw this football stuff, man. I'm in.
That's Sean Salisbury. Thanks for coming on, Sean. We'll catch you. he pretty much hit on everything we wanted right there.
Perfect, Sean.
Let's start with the Oakland Raiders, who are going to be in Mexico City Monday night against the Houston Texans. Houston passed on Derek Carr twice. They went with Jadeveon Clowney, and then they addressed the offensive line at the beginning of round two. What have you seen as a former quarterback from Derek Carr? Could this kid be the MVP of the league this season?
Well, I got him as the MVP right now. And I know Ezekiel Elliott may have something to say about that. And Matt Ryan and Brady, even though he missed four games. There's a handful of guys that Prescott's played well. I don't know how he's not at the top of the list. And you're right, you mentioned the Texans. They'll regret that pick for a long time. And the only reason they didn't take him, in my mind, is because of what happened with his brother, which is too bad that you have to judge it like that. And I'm guaranteed they wish they had him now. But I love him, guys, and you guys know how I feel about Jack Del Rio, one of my very dear friends, but he breeds toughness. And Carr, I believe teams take on the personality of their head coach, and Jack didn't have to instill that in Derek Carr because he has it. When I train quarterbacks and when I watch quarterbacks, when anybody asks me, what's the number one trait I want in a quarterback? Yeah, we love accuracy, physical trait on the field, of course we do. But if my guy doesn't have mental and emotional balls, the rest doesn't matter. So I want toughness. And I've watched this guy his first year get his brains beat in and keep competing. I watched him lose a few and lose some and win a few and keep competing. Then I saw him the next year. And I see as they start to build around him, I've seen him make players better. And I think great quarterbacks take ordinary players and make them extraordinary, and they keep great ones great and keep them playing at a high level. This dude does – where's the weakness? The ball comes out quick. He's tough as 100-year-old leather physically. Yeah, and a quarterback who can be 6 out of 22 and getting his butt hit and losing and getting booed and the dog peeing on you at home, and then all of a sudden you come back and find ways to win. This dude's carrying his team as good as anybody in the league's carrying theirs. And I mean, just with his leadership, I love him. I think he's got a chance. He'll win an MVP regardless of who votes him this year. The Oakland Raiders are going to win the division because as long as their defense will just play middle-of-the-pack defense, this dude is a full-grown football-playing Jesse, man. Love him, and I just love the improvements he makes every year. Ball comes out quick. He's accurate. He's tough. I don't know what's not to like about him. I think the Oakland Raiders, in my mind, you know, have their guy for the next decade, and since Rich Gannon, they're not going to have they haven't had as good a quarterback, obviously. But the difference is they get this guy for a long time, just not for a couple years. Love him.
Shano, I'm kind of jealous. You talked about Jack being your best friend. I thought I was your best friend, and we get crazy together.
I said one of them. You know, when it comes right down to it, you know how you and I do. You know how that goes.
No question, baby. No question. When you look at this Raiders team and look at what they're doing, you look at the, you know, Dallas Cowboys offensive line's been a big play. You see the way Ezekiel Elliott's been able to run the ball behind that line. What stands out about this particular line with the Raiders, and why aren't they as prolific as a runner? Not as specifically as a team running the ball as Dallas. Do you think they have that type of offensive line and the type of backs that could, by committee, could be prolific?
I do, Lo. And the key is, and here's when you look at what the Cowboys have built. We, you know, all those first rounders from Tyron, they're more publicized, and it's Dallas. And the Raiders have kind of pecked away at putting people in the right spot. And for those who didn't think the Oakland Raiders offensive line was dominant, all you had to do is watch the last time you saw them on TV when they're going 6 offensive linemen, that left side's mauling it. They do. And the difference is, you know, with the three-headed monster the Raiders are running, Ezekiel Elliott's a different cat. You guys know that. I mean, he's a cut above. Right now, he's best back in the league the way he's playing. So I don't compare the two, but when it comes to offensive lines, the Cowboys may get more pub and maybe better overall 5 guys. But I'm going to tell you what, the Raiders aren't far behind. This looks like the old Oakland Raiders that I grew up with Stabler and watching, where they're all 3'10", 3'15", 3'20", but they're athletic, they're physical. And that trend of 6 guys on the offensive line, you watch now. Max protection, and when people want to push the pile, instead of going small, offenses, I don't know if it'll be an every damn down trend, but it will be a trend around the league where people start to use a 6th offensive line. We saw Denver do it a little last year. But, Lo, I do believe that they can build this where it's a physical running team. Now, they may not be the Cowboys, but I'll tell you what, in the AFC, you can have all the offensive lines you want. I'll take what the Raiders are bringing, and they are physical. They just don't get the pub the Cowboys do, and the Cowboys deserve that pub. But Carr also is better at this stage of his career than Prescott is, although Prescott will be a player. So it evens itself out. We're going to have one hell of a run in the AFC and NFC. But those are the two best and most physical offensive lines in football. There's no doubt. Plus, the Cowboys are probably a tad bit more committed to running the football. And I think they know they have to with a rookie quarterback. But I love what the Raiders are doing right now, and I love their approach to offense.
Sean Salisbury joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Considering how successful Dallas and Oakland have been because of their offensive lines, are you surprised that we haven't seen a shift in the draft to more elite offensive linemen going earlier in the draft?
Yes, but I think we will. Guys, when you look at this year's draft, you know, the front 7 on defense and offensive linemen on offense, I think should be the norm. And you are exactly right. You look at Seattle. Hell, thank goodness they got Russell Wilson. They've got about 5 of their guys, the money they've invested in their offensive line wouldn't pay Tyron Smith or wouldn't pay a Joe Thomas. I mean, one guy's got a bigger salary cap hit than the whole offensive line in Seattle. So, yes, some teams have thought, well, we got Brady. He'll bail us out, even though New England obviously is pretty good up there. In Seattle, you look around the league saying, well, if we got a good quarterback, he'll bail us out. But eventually the hits start to take their toll. And physical always beats finesse. Now, you may have the aberration finesse, wins a game or two, or sneaks in 1 year and wins a championship. But you guys, as Lowe knows this, those big fellas up front and controlling the line of scrimmage and having a fullback like him, you get a chance to push people around in all sports. You got to bang on the boards. You got to play good middle infield, up the middle, and good pitching in baseball. And it's the same in football. That you got to be physical. And when all is said and done, Alabama wins national titles. Why? Because they punch you right in your throat. And it's the same in the NFL. So I think we will see a trend towards that. If not, and you may see a guy who's the 22nd pick of the first round as an offensive lineman, people may say, well, hell, there's a running back at 15 who's good. Let's go offensive line. I don't know why more people don't. Maybe it's because in college, here's the problem, is guys spend all their time in a two-point stance on a lot of teams, unless it's Michigan State or Stanford or Alabama. They're in a two-point, or at SC, but they're in a two-point stance playing in that spread stuff, so they don't know how to come at you and maul you. I think that's been a problem. But as long as we start to trend towards it and you can see that these guys have a little physicality and know how to bury somebody in a run game, I'd be shocked if we don't start to see more athletic big linemen taken higher because, as you can tell, teams that win control the line of scrimmage.
Sean Salisbury, former NFL quarterback. He's now a radio host on 97.5 in Houston with Joe Lowandibs on 95.7 The Game. Tony Romo, very gracious, very professional this week when addressing the fact that the Dallas Cowboys would be moving to Dak Prescott as the quarterback for the future. Where do you think Tony Romo ends up playing football next season?
Yeah, and did he handle it with style, guys? We could show video to a lot of young players with as many clowns as we have in sports at times. We got a lot of good ones, but we got some don't know how to handle their business. Tony,
show it to Case Keenum, Sean. Show it to Case Keenum.
Say that again.
Case Keenum in L.A. He got replaced by Jared Goff this week, and he is the opposite of Romo.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I don't think Case Keenum has as many skins in the game as Tony Romo does. So I understand the frustration when a quarterback gets beat out, but they do. And Romo handled it like a charm in class. And while he's never going to be the starter again in Dallas, it's the best backup in the league right now. I actually, guys, you think about San Francisco and Cleveland, and you think about the Jets, which would seem to fit Tony pretty well. But you know he's going to be somewhere. Question is, when the team that goes and deals for him, and I got one in mind that I think would be the best place for him, and I guarantee they'd love to have him now, but is – Alfred, will he be fragile? Can he give us two or three really good years? Because he can play. When he's healthy, he's one of the best six or seven we got in the league. The ball comes out on time. If I'm the Denver Broncos and you want to, you still, Paxton Lynch still has some time. Heck, if Simeon keeps this up and plays decent football, you may be able to ship him somewhere for a mid-round draft pick. The Denver Broncos will be the perfect place for him. They protect it. Gary Kubiak runs fairly conservative, likes to run it. Play action, ball comes out. They like to run slants and screens. If there was a team, and then you give Paxton Lynch another year or two to learn, if you want a championship caliber team, and I know Raider fans don't want to hear it, but that defense, and if they get C.J. Anderson healthy, and you get a player like Tony Romo, to me, if the Denver Broncos don't jump into this fray in the offseason, they're absolutely nuts because I don't know, what do you get, a second rounder and a player, or a second rounder? The Cowboys may ask for something more. But if you get a second or third rounder for Tony Romo and you're Denver Broncos, that's legalized theft. That'd be the number one team in my mind that should go and go hard after Tony Romo. Maybe the Chicago Bears, too, because we know Cutler's not going to be there, and he'd be a good bridge for the young quarterback that they're going to draft at some point next year.
Dynamite stuff. Former NFL quarterback, now a radio host with 97.5 in Houston, Sean Salisbury with Joe Lowandibs on 95.7 The Game. Sean, thank you so much for your time. Happy Thanksgiving, and hopefully we can catch up with you again in the future.
Anytime. I look forward to happy Thanksgiving. Always honored to be on with you guys. You guys keep kicking ass. I appreciate it.
You too, Sean. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Football Fridays brought to you by Dolan's Lumber Doors and Windows. Lower prices, better service, higher quality. And FH Daily Chevrolet. Drive a little, save a lot. Agreed. Romo to Denver makes perfect sense. John Elway has made a move like that before with Peyton Manning. You can ease Paxton Lynch into the equation. More cowbell as we're live from Lowe's Farm in Lemoore, broadcasting for the Andre Ward-Sergey Kovalev fight. I think that's the perfect fit. Arizona makes some sense, but Denver, I think, is the number one fit. Why go to New York and deal with that media?
Right.
Why go to Chicago for that dumpster fire rebuild? Why, Dibs?
And if you're Tony Romo, the number one thing you're looking for is a place to compete maybe for a Super Bowl, but number two is a place to go where you're going to be protected. He's been injured numerous times. He's getting older. You don't want to go to a situation with a shaky offensive line. Denver has a good offensive line.
I don't know about a good offensive. It's not a great offensive line. It's an average. But they run the ball. I think it's a great spot.
You got Demaryius Thomas.
You got weapons.
Emmanuel Sanders.
Got a defense. It's a great spot for him. Great landing spot.
How about the AFC West? Phillip Rivers, Tony Romo, Derek Carr, Alex Smith.
Oh, my.
State of quarterback play in the AFC West. Loaded.
It would be high, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Speaking of loaded, Bruno Mars, two tickets, 8:45. Marcus Thompson's going to swing by at 9:30. We've also got some special guests we're going to pepper in between now and the end of the show as we're live from Radio Row in Las Vegas at the MGM Grand for the Sergey Kovalev-Andre Ward fight. Speaking of which, if you want to weigh in on how that's going to play out, whether it be decision, whether it be knockout, which fighter you're going to support, go to the 95.7 The Game website. That's our Take Your Pick poll question of the day, brought to you by FH Daily and Novato Chevrolet. How about a little fight insight for the next minute or two before we jump right back into the football and all the other stuff happening with the Celtics and the Warriors tonight? How do you see this thing playing out, Dibs? Is it your first Vegas title fight?
First Vegas title fight. I've actually broadcasted Golden Gloves fights in San Francisco,
nice.
Championship caliber amateur fights, but never been to a fight of this magnitude in a place like Las Vegas. I was watching the HBO 30-minute special on Kovalev Ward. Great story about Andre's backstory in Oakland and the fact that his father was a heroin addict and his mother was a crack addict. His father has passed. His mother has actually gotten clean and become a part of his life. And you watch Andre in the ring and then you see Kovalev's story. Hardscrabble, Russian upbringing. Wasn't expected to be anything by any boxing expert, but a guy who's just stuck with it. And then you look at the two styles, and this fight really is going to be about who can dictate. Can Andre dictate from a strategy standpoint and keep Kovalev from getting the power shots off? So I really don't know who's going to win. I think this is about as much of a toss-up as it could be.
And that's what Vegas is telling you. Most fights, like the last one, Pacquiao a couple weeks ago, it's like minus 700. It's like, all right, we
not
get
a
it. You're a huge favorite. Floyd Mayweather, always a huge favorite. This, Andre's about minus 150. Minus 150. This is as tight as you get for boxing. And then these slicksters, they know it's going the distance, so will it go the distance is like minus 240. I love that play because I think this is going all the way. But for you personally, as you evaluate this fight, first of all, have you ever been Vegas for a title fight, Lo?
Yeah.
I assumed you had, but we had never talked about it.
Yeah, I was here for Roy Jones both when he got knocked out. I was here. Maybe I brought my parents up to watch that fight. So I've been here. Also went and watched Mike Tyson in Memphis when he got beat. I mean, I've been to I enjoy fights. I think we both do. I've seen our guy, our buddy here, Ward, fighting Lemoore. He's taught at Tachi Palace, so he's been all over. So he's taken a tough road. In Lemoore, they got a casino, have a lot of boxing out there. And so you look at both these two fighters. Both these two fighters have a history. History of a tough upbringing, a history where they both are hungry. And this is going to be a battle of the wills. Both these guys can get after it. Kovalev understands what Ward's trying to do. He wants to counterpunch off his mistakes, coming in aggressive. And Ward understands what Kovalev wants to do. He understands he wants to try to back him into a corner. Kovalev wants to put pressure on him. So I think this is going to be a strategic fight.
Tell you what, respect both these guys for what they're about to do, because you don't, and I've heard this before, this isn't in my line, but you don't play boxing. No one, you play football, you play baseball, you don't play boxing, you don't play MMA. I mean, this is legit.
Yeah.
Kovalev looked like he wanted to knock me out. Andre's last fight, he's sitting ringside, right? And I got to do the, like, MC duties in between the undercard fights, get in the ring, hype the crowd up, make a bunch of comments.
Nice.
They gave me a script. I didn't like the script, so I created my own script. I got people all gassed up. That's what I do. That's the job. I tried to make a wisecrack at Kovalev at one point. He handled it like a pro, but he gave me that Russian stare, and I kept thinking to myself, is that worth it? Yeah, you got a couple cheap laughs from the audience. Yeah, the people at Oracle started booing them, and they like you because you're obviously supporting Andre. But then I see that guy down there ringside eyeing me up for a few minutes. I'm thinking to myself, I don't know if that was worth it.
Maybe not the smart long play.
I'm hoping he doesn't come through here today. And I remember you making your little wise cracks in the ring. You're a funny guy, aren't you? Terrifying.
Hilarious.
Terrifying. I got to get the hell out of here now that I think about it. I'm looking at that picture of him up on the wall, and it's no good. I mean, that's a real-life Drago right there, minus the flat top, which was just corny. But all right, a lot to get to today, a lot to get to coming up. Raiders and the Texans. Monday night, Mexico City, and the Niners taking on Tom Brady and the Patriots. What's it all mean? We'll make sense of it next. Joe Lowe and Diz, 95.7 The Game.
The dog peeing on you at home, mental and emotional balls.
What can we expect from the Warriors in Boston and Milwaukee? Marcus Thompson joins us coming up at 9:30. Now, back to Football Fridays, live from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. Here's Joe, Lowe, and Dibs.
What's good? He's Dan Dibley. He's Lorenzo Neal. I'm Nick Papa Giorgio. Morning show, Joe, Lowe, and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. We are in Las Vegas for the Andre Ward-Sergey Kovalev fight. Tomorrow night, HBO pay-per-view. T-Mobile Arena. I can't wait to get a look at this venue. Brand new, supposed to be nice. All right, feeling pretty good. Everyone's looking good. Everyone's feeling good. I don't know about the Ocean's 11's music, this crowd, this group I'm with here. I don't look around and think of us as Ocean's 11. I'm going to be honest.
No.
And that includes myself. It's not a knock on you guys.
It's more of a Swamp 5 than it is an Ocean's 11, you know? Or like a SLU. We're more like
Ocean's
a SLU.
Ocean's 11, they had some slicksters in there. They got after it.
Yeah, but what are we going to do? Like, which character in that are you? If you're an Ocean's 11 character, which one would you be?
I'm the little...
Don't say Don Cheadle.
No, I'm the little Asian guy that gets all in the little box and, you know, and gets really small.
I had you as a mix between Clooney and Pitt myself.
No.
Yeah, that's true.
He's not going to be the brains
Fortenbaugh
of the operation.
Is yeah, both of those brothers who fight the whole time and argue with each other.
Scott Kahn and Casey Affleck.
Yes.
Yeah, the two moron jabronis. That would be me.
That'd be you and me.
All right, Raiders, Mexico City, Monday night. Derek Carr out for revenge for David. That's a storyline we can sell. He's obviously just trying to win a football game and get his team to the next level. Point spread for this one, currently Raiders, -6. They are coming off the bye. Houston is coming off a win over Jacksonville in Jacksonville last weekend. For Houston, though, let's flip the script a little bit. How are the Texans going to attack the Raiders? How does a team like Houston come out of Mexico City with a win?
Well, I think they're going to have to get the running back involved. The young guy, he's not a guy who runs hard, but like a little Rashard, though. He can catch the ball out of the backfield, get some mismatches against the linebackers. You saw some of the things that this guy's able to do, and they're going to have to pound the ball. They're going to try to run the ball and get to the perimeter. They want to go after some of these guys and see if they can tackle and see if we check the Raiders out, because the Raiders, you know they played well against Denver, but before that game, a lot of times they gave up some run against the – they've given up a lot of yards in the run game, especially you saw games like Kansas City. So there is some vulnerability. I know we're talking about Brock Osweiler, talking about how this guy can't necessarily throw the ball. But you know what? He's had some throws. He's shown some signs. And the Raiders secondary, last I looked, sometimes they've had some holes. I know they played well against Denver, but we got to look at the whole body of work and what, you know, their whole body of work. So there is some spots in that defense that you can take advantage of, especially with the tight end position as well, Dibs.
Dibs, from a wide receiver position, this would be a hell of a matchup for the Raiders. DeAndre Hopkins, who's already emerging as one of the league's better wide receivers. Will Fuller, the rookie out of Notre Dame, who has speed for days, but can Osweiler get him the ball? The Raider corners are going to be tested here.
They will be, and I think a lot of it comes down to Will Fuller. And if he's able to get behind the Raiders secondary, Brock Osweiler, all you have to do is throw it up and you can make that happen. We saw New Orleans hit the Raiders. Sean Smith was victimized with a big play on a missed jam. They went over the top of the coverage there. I think it really comes down, though, to Lamar Miller. If he's able to be effective and keep the Raiders' run defense in there and keep Houston in third and short, then the pressure on Brock Osweiler would be much less if you avoid those third and longs.
Osweiler's averaging like 1 yard per attempt this season. So he's going to be in third and eight all day long. This is an interesting matchup pitting two very different draft picks from 3 years ago. Jadeveon Clowney, who goes number one overall. Derek Carr, who falls to the second round. I think if you're Oakland, you're feeling like you got the better end of that deal, because it wasn't just Carr that you got in that draft. Khalil Mack as a top five pick as well. Clowney, through three seasons, 7.5 sacks.
Wow.
7.5 sacks. Now, this is a guy who everyone who didn't know him fell in love with him in the – was it the Outback Bowl? I know it was at Raymond James Stadium against Tampa. They play multiple bowl games there. I think it was the Outback Bowl. It was January 1st.
One play.
When he came through the line against Michigan, knocked the helmet off the running back, buried him into the ground, caused the fumble. That was one of the great YouTube videos of all time. Clowney has been a beast and a high recruit ever since you go back to high school. But, again, the guy who checked out his last year of school, didn't really want to play, was looking ahead to the pros. Huge red flag. You still take a chance on him. Are you surprised he's not panning out?
Well, I am a little surprised, and I think he's starting to pan out. He's starting to play a little bit better now in his third season, and that his case is so unique because after that hit, after that season, he should have come out. He was ready to go right then and there to come out in the NFL, but he hadn't played his 3 years in college, so he couldn't come out. And when you go back, when you're playing defense low, is it not that unexpected that he kind of shut it down? He knew he was going to be a high pick. He didn't want to get injured. It's hard to go back and play that season as Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah, well, as Joe talked about, though, tough times don't last tough people, too. You talk about guys like Brady Manning. You look at certain guys, the Russell Wilsons, certain guys that know, even if guys that are coming out, even if they know they're getting drafted, a lot of guys don't shut up. They don't shut it down because of the love of the game. See, when Clowney shut it down the way that he did, people said, okay, they questioned him. Even you look at certain guys, there's a lot of great players that understand they're going to get drafted high, but they still go out and say, if I'm going to play, I'm going to play. I can't halfway play and just think, oh, I'm just trying to play to stay healthy. You can't do that. So you question that. I think more to be questioned. I don't necessarily say question. I think the flip side of that we got to all realize, here's a young man that's been hurt. A lot of injuries in those first couple of years. So did we get to see the true Clowney? I think now, hopefully, this is more of where he's going to be, more of the upside, because the first couple of years, you didn't get much at him because of injuries.
I think it was a huge red. You look back on this, you should have passed on him. I mean, it's easy to say that now. I get that, and I respect the fact that it's easy to say that now. But this is the NFL draft, for all the guys out there who try to make it an exact science. Sometimes simplifying the process could help. We've talked about this before with Balky and constantly drafting these pass rushers from Oregon. Why? Oregon's not known for producing pass rushers. Great pass rushers don't come from the Pac-12. You want a pass rusher, you go to the South. You go to the South. Von Miller from the South. Go through the list of the top 10, top 12 guys in the league in sacks this year. 7, 8, 9 of them are from the South, whether it's the SEC or they were born in Texas or Florida, what have you, right? Sometimes you don't need to overcomplicate things. When it comes to some of these picks, the mental makeup is so, so important. You can't let Jit Clowney, being 6'5", 270, and running, what, a 4.45 or whatever it is he turned in, you can't let that cloud the judgment. Because when you see a guy checking out the last year, I understand he's a brand, I understand he's a business, and he's got to protect himself. But to me, Lowe said it perfectly. All the greats have one thing in common. They want to be great. Guy like LT, guy like Ray Lewis, guy like Eddie George, all dudes you play with. Was there ever a moment where any of them thought, you know what, I got to take this game off. I got to take this game off. I got to save the wheels a little bit so that I can prolong the career and make more money. Would LT have ever thought like that?
It's not their makeup. It's not their makeup. It's not those guys' makeup, the Patrick Willises, the guys that you watch play, the Derek Carrs. I mean, that's not their makeup. That's not who they are. It's not the way they're wired.
That's a red flag. And going back, that should be one of those things where you see it and you're like, he's a freak. He looks fantastic. I'm not sure I can trust this guy when it matters most. That's what always comes back to me about that AFC Championship game you guys played in New England that one year, when all the people just bashed LT for standing on the sidelines. How can he not be out there? How can he not be playing? Fool, you think LT wants to be standing on the sideline? You think that's who he is? He wants to check out in the first and only AFC title game you ever played in? That was the dumbest criticism I had heard for years with that. Why is he on the sideline? I can't believe he's checking out of this game. Now, Cutler in the NFC Championship game that one year against Green Bay, I don't know the significance with which he was hurt, but he never really came out and clarified that, because a lot of people thought he had checked out on his team in that game.
Running back. He's called a running back. Why? Because he has to what? Run.
He has to run.
LT's knees, you know, spring meniscus. You can't run. You can't cut. You can't do it. You're not a lineman. You're not a quarterback. Phillip played with a meniscus gone. I mean, you're dropping straight back and you're throwing the ball. You're not scrambling. LT, what made him great is ability to cut and make things happen. He needed his knees. You're in a running back. You can't. You can't use that as any other position on the field, even receiver.
It's just so easy for us fans to watch. And I remember I was in that camp criticizing LT. I'll be honest with you. Many of us were. Maybe it was his body language. Maybe it was just the way things played out. But for a guy who never played football, you don't really have a great appreciation for how often you guys are in pain and how often you play through pain. And I think a lot of times we take it for granted just how tough it is to go out there and do that.
Take the shot, coach. Just take the shot and get out there. Make me money. Well, make me money, coach.
Well,
all right, coach. Celtics hosting the Warriors tonight. We've got that. Plus, Lowe versus Dibs is right around the corner. It's Joe Lowe and Dibs from Las Vegas, the MGM Grand, 95.7 the game.
What can we expect from the Warriors in Boston and Milwaukee? Marcus Thompson joins us coming up at 9:30. Now, back to Football Fridays, live from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. Here's Joe, Lowe, and Dibs.
Welcome back, locked and loaded on a Football Friday here at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, Nevada. Joe Fortenball, Lorenzo Neal, Dan Dibley. We got you till 10 a.m., and then JT the Brick is going to be taking over. Sergey Kovalev, Andre Ward tomorrow night, T-Mobile Arena, HBO pay-per-view. We're going to get to that with the Bruno Mars ticket giveaway in just a moment. Josh Reddick, ladies and gentlemen, 4 years, $52 million with the Houston Astros, a little consolation prize for A's fans. You get to see him at the Coliseum at least for a few more games than if he were in the National League or any other division in the AL.
And he was a big fan favorite, and that's great. The right field crew, when he comes back for the first time in the Astros uniform, he's going to get a huge ovation. It's sad to see him go to Houston, a division rival, but you have to be happy for the guy, especially how he played in L.A. Not a great run with the Dodgers, yet he gets 13 stacks a year.
As long as he's happy, because it seemed like he wasn't happy in L.A.
True.
It may be when it was one of those situations where L.A. is not really his kind of town. And it's not the town for anyone. I mean, you could take people from all over the country, put them in a different city. They don't like it. He had no say there. He's traded. Now, as a free agent, he gets to pick his spot. You get to go to Houston. No state income tax.
Oh.
So you get to keep a little bit more of that $52 million. Good for you, Josh Reddick. Looking forward to seeing you at the Coliseum next season. So, ticket giveaway. Bruno Mars. The phone line is 888-957-9570. Two tickets to Bruno Mars. Now, he's got two shows. One at Oracle and one at SAP. You will talk to the people on our phone line if you win. They'll give you the dates, and you can pick which one you'd like to go to. 888-957-9570. Here's your trivia question.
Let's go.
How many combined victories do Andre Ward and Sergei Kovalev have? How many combined victories do Andre Ward and Sergei Kovalev have? 888-957-9570.
I'll give you a clue. It's about as many times as our neighbor station here has rang that cowbell. Those two numbers
are... That's a fun show.
It's a very fun show. It's an extraordinarily close number. Cowbell rings versus wins between these two.
This is
What happened?
Very different Radio Row concept than the Super Bowl. Super Bowl, everyone is on top of one another. It is a gigantic ballroom that has hundreds of radio stations. Here, you have less, obviously. It's a smaller room, but you've got some breathing room here, Dave.
Yeah.
That's what's nice about this. You can stretch out and enjoy a little bit.
Yeah, and I love the energy that comes with a boxing Radio Row because you have a wide variety of stations. Super Bowl, it's almost exclusively sports stations. And what does that mean? Usually three or four jabronis like you and I.
Yes.
White dudes who think they know everything.
Local meatballs.
Yes. Here you have a nice flavor. We've got some Spanish-speaking stations, a few urban stations. It's not just the sports yahoos. It's a nice mix.
¿Tú hablas español, señor?
No, I'm afraid not. I took
¿Por qué
French.
No?
¿Por qué no? Because my older brother took French, and my parents, God love them, my father, may he rest in peace, they didn't have the vision to see that, guess what? California.
Sound like Bill Romanowski. Right?
Okay.
Guess what?
And you know what? Okay. California tends to be a state where Spanish is spoken a little bit more frequently than French.
I had a choice
in
junior high between German, French, and Spanish. Took German. Huge mistake. Never been to Germany.
No.
Germans aren't invading the country at the moment. Now, don't need it. A complete waste of time over the course of about 10 years. Complete waste of time.
But there we go.
The bell. That was perfect timing.
More cowbell, son.
Yeah.
You know your way around a schnitzel, though, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. I've had a Bavarian beer, so to speak.
Jody! Yes. Yeah, I mean, even in the Central Valley, I don't speak it as well as I did, but I take a couple years because, I don't know if you know, but 65% of the population in Central Valley is Hispanic. It's a really, really growing population.
I'm going to check that number.
Oh, you please do. I'd be surprised what numbers I know.
That feels like a number you're just throwing out there.
No.
Did you know that 81% of all stats are made up on the spot?
Well, why don't you check it? And the text line will.
I'm not questioning you. No. He was.
I was. Yeah, I was. That was me.
You
always, that was me.
Coach,
but I'm good.
Question
coach,
everything.
Coach,
that's my motto.
That. Coach.
Coach, I'm good.
Coach, he takes a shot and then you turn it on me, Coach.
No, I wasn't on you.
Okay.
I just like looking at you.
I'm over it anyway. I'm standing
that's
up.
Not
I'm
weird,
feeling good.
So, the Warriors tonight, we'll get to go to the sports book. Here's something you're going to enjoy in Vegas. This will help show you the appeal this team has nationwide and globally. And I noticed this last year. It was November when I was here. Late November was the last time I was in town. The Warriors were on that 24-game winning streak. You go by any sports book on a Friday night, it's relatively low-key. Might be a couple college games tonight. There's some NBA, some NHL. But by and large, a Friday night, people are out on the town. Except for the Warriors. The Warriors are going to be playing. They're going to be on 95.7 the game. Tip time, I believe, 5 o'clock. Warriors warm-up kicks off set 3:30 right here on 95.7 The Game as well. You will see the appeal. There will be a lot of people in town this weekend from all over the country betting on the Warriors, watching the Warriors in the sportsbook. Anyone who's ever gone by a sportsbook before, NFL Sunday, yeah, you know what that's going to look like. March Madness, yeah, you know what that's going to look like. But there's a pool of people who will be in there watching that Warrior game because of how popular they become. The Sixers are playing the T-Wolves. No one's in there watching that game. If the Bulls are playing the Knicks, no one really cares about that game. If Milwaukee's playing anybody, no one cares. But the Warriors tonight, you'll have people in there, you'll have people betting on them, and they'll be paying attention to that team right down to the stretch.
And have you seen that the number this year has grown from the opening number to what the number closes at? Has it grown more than it has in previous seasons? Because Kevin Durant, and there's much more attention and maybe more betting action. I guess what I'm asking you is, are these point spreads going up more for the Warriors than in the past?
Yeah. Last year really peaked. You win 24 in a row, and then you end up winning 73 games with all that popularity. You can't set the numbers high enough. I remember speaking to Johnny Avello, who works down at the Wynn. I've spoken to Jay Rude, who runs the sports books for the MGM properties, and they would tell me that when you got to a point a few years ago with Baylor in college football and with Oregon, they couldn't set the line high enough. That's what they tell me. They just, Joe, I can't set this number any higher. Every time I put out a number, people are betting into it. People will bet Oregon at anything with the way they score.
Right.
People will bet Baylor at anything with the way they score. And Golden State, to an extent, has gotten to that point. You can throw out a game that should be 6 or 7, it'll be 13. And people will still push it to 14, push it to 15. We've seen it. That was a huge number they were laying in Los Angeles against the Lakers the other night. But that speaks to their appeal. They have not just this national appeal, but this global appeal with recognizable faces. And that's part of what makes the NBA so great. They're such smart businessmen marketing the players over the game, marketing the players over the brand. You don't hear about the Shield in the NBA. You hear about Kevin Durant, Steph Curry. You hear about LeBron James. In the NFL, it's about stifling the players. Don't let them celebrate. Don't let them speak out. Punish them for anything they do. And talk about the Shield and the teams and the logos. We get it, Goodell, but try, man. And your Thursday night product isn't very good.
And that's part of the attitude of the league, is that the players are interchangeable. There's very few players, the marquee guys, your Tom Brady's, Russell Wilson certainly, guys who are above the Shield, you know. But in the NBA, and part of it is because you have smaller rosters, 15 guys, only 5 on the court. Also, the proximity of fans, you can be close. You can see their expressions. You see Kevin Durant giving a snicker to Drake as he walks by him in the post-game interview. Everything seems more accessible.
We've been over this. He doesn't give a damn about no damn Drake night.
That's right. That's right. He was very clear about that because they had the Drake night, and he doesn't really care about it. But the fact that they don't wear helmets certainly adds to the ease
appeal
with which that they can be appealed, yes.
Let me ask you this, and this isn't to get political, but have you noticed that in the NBA you had multiple head coaches, Van Gundy, Kerr, Popovich, to name a few, who were very outspoken about the election results? In the NFL, virtually silence. Yes, Bill Belichick wrote a letter to one of the candidates, fine, but by and large, none of them came out and denounced anything that may have happened on one side or the other. Again, this isn't to get political. It's just to raise the point. In the NFL, you didn't have coaches taking much of a stand. And those are coaches who have a lot of minority candidates, a lot of minority individuals in their locker rooms, just like in the NBA. Popovich, Kerr, Van Gundy, no issue whatsoever speaking out, but you didn't see it in the NFL. Is that bizarre at all, or am I reading too much into it?
I haven't even thought of that, Joe. I don't know if you're reading too much into it, but maybe it's just a question of them having so much going on that they don't want to take their attention away from football. I mean, like Bill Belichick said, Seattle, right? All he's focused on is Seattle, not the letter. And I think a lot of the head coaches of these teams would much rather take that as their focus. You know, Colin Kaepernick made it so that the 49ers had to address some of these social issues because he put himself out there. I think teams in general are going to be more reluctant to address those things anyway, unless it's forced upon them.
Well, I disagree. I think you're spot on. The NBA is addressing why, because a huge amount of those guys are minorities, and these coaches are around them on a daily basis. The NFL coaches are not really around their guys. They're around them at practice. They're in different meetings. You have individual meetings, but the head coach gets to see his guys on the bus. I think Van Gundy talked about he gets on the bus and he sees his guys and he looks at their face, talking about, hey, guys, we'll get on tomorrow. And they're talking about the election because some of these guys, what they've seen and what the media has portrayed, who this president is going to be, and it bothered him. You see, you didn't see any guys coming up and standing out. LeBron publicly came out. Look, the NFL would have did. Brady, you know who he wanted to vote for, but what, you didn't see him go to the Trump rallies and do the things. Why? Because he understood. They understand. It's a different animal. I think the NBA has to, they've got him by, they've grabbed the bulls by the horn and they addressed it. But, you know, they talk about the NBA. NBA touched on it, and then Colin Kaepernick furthered the progress. And now, look, now you see Anquan Boldin and all those guys. Those guys, they saw what happened with Ali and all those guys. You saw those guys going there. And now that picture is going to be in history forever. When Anquan Boldin and those five guys that went to Congress and did the stuff that they're doing in D.C., it's a totally different demographics. You're absolutely right. The NFL doesn't look at and view it the same way because these coaches in the NBA are more in touch with their players, and the NFL has so many guys, it's hard to be more involved as like the NBA.
Makes sense. I mean, 52 guys in an NFL locker room, you're going to have a much wider swath
of
humanity, no backgrounds, question. Ethnic breakdowns, and everything. That's a good way to put it, Lo.
Well, that's the way it is.
Let me ask you a serious question. Let's dive down this rabbit hole a little bit further. What does Lo Neal do when he's off the radio today here in Las Vegas? Where's Lo Neal going first? The people want to know. What's Lo Neal going to do today?
Well, actually, me and Dib's going to go get changed, and we're going to go for a nice little walk, get a little work.
God, you know what?
And then I'm going to get crazy.
Let me tell you something.
But I want to wind up.
That is the absolute.
I want to sweat first.
It's the absolute lamest possible thing to say.
You said Vegas.
You're coming off the air. Dib's and I are going to go for a workout. Lie to me. You got all these people listening on the other end of the phone. They want to hear that we're out there living the dream for them, that we're representing the Bay, and the first thing you give me is, I'm going to go get a workout in.
Well, time out.
Cool.
Wait a minute, bro. Time out.
Can I come? Coach.
Time out.
Coach, let me finish this. The workout's only an hour, Coach, and then I'm going to get it on. I actually don't care anymore.
I'm at a point now where I don't care.
I want to sweat first. Because I understand what I'm about to do, Joe. It's going to get ugly, Coach.
It's going to get ugly.
You know what's going to happen. You're scared. You're going to be running from me. You and Puma are going to go, okay, Lo, we got to stay away. And now I'm going to call out, you know? I'm going to call out the dogs and piss on the fire. Let's ride.
Let me make something clear.
Didn't see that coming.
I got it in last night. You went to bed.
You went to bed early, too.
I was out getting it in. All right? I'm still getting it in.
Yes.
You went upstairs to order room service like an old man.
Now, hold
on. You had your time, and you'll have more time. Now,
he's lying, though.
Now there's a situation where – no, that's what you told me. Unless you lied to me last night. Are you lying to me now, or were you lying to me last night?
I did get it in early.
You got room service. You said you went to the room, you got a workout in.
This escalated
room, you got
quickly.
Not because I want to see where he's at. Because he talks about getting it in, but last night he's an old man, went to bed early.
I did.
Now today it's, when I'm done with work, I'm going to go get my workout in. Your boy's going to go get it in right after this show's over. That's how he's going to do it. So when you talk about me running from you, it's the other way around, son. You're running from me. That's the problem
okay.
right now. Joe's
okay.
up 1-0. He's going to be up 2-0 real quick, and then what's going to happen?
Monday,
hey, Joe, I'm done with my workout. You want to go get a smoothie?
I'll get a smoothie.
I put you down
many a times in San Francisco.
How about we go get
I
some
laid
carrots.
You down in San Francisco. Call Nikki.
Yeah, that's basically I can't overcome the discrepancy in what you can put back versus me. I'll hang as long as I possibly can.
Eventually, the alcohol
puts me in the ground.
Can I get
pound for pound? You got to go with me.
Can I get some echinacea in my smoothie? I'm feeling a little sniffle.
Dibs, we got to pick it up. He's calling us out. Dibs, we got to pick it up.
You did both get called out.
Young
you
pops.
Hold on.
I'm pissed.
We're gonna change the dynamic here. We're gonna change the dynamic here. Low versus Dibs. It's coming up next. Joe Low and Dibs. 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.